Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father, we thank you for your hand upon us tonight. We thank you for the entrance of your word, for the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. And so, Lord, we take heed to the word tonight, and we thank you for impacting us with your deep truths. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. I'm doing a teaching tonight called Strengthened with Might. And one of the things that I want to get across to you is we do not have just mere religion. What we have in Christianity is we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given us some things. He has given us some rich treasure in this life. Number one, we're born again. Number two, we've got the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. But we also are members of the kingdom of God. In fact, John 17:20 says the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they see here or see there. And then Jesus said, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So once we come to know the Lord, we move into a covenant with Almighty God. We become one with him. He places his spirit on the inside of us. And we have some rights, privileges, and benefits because we are one with the kingdom of God. So I want kind of that to be the main premise of how we move forward. And so what I would say to you tonight is you've already got it. Anything that you say, well, I need to be healed. I've got their sickness. Well, healing is already a part of you through the kingdom of God. Well, I need to have some bills paid. I'd like to get a raise at work. I need to get more money. You've already got it. You've got everything on the inside of you, and all you need to do is tap into that rich supply and believe God for that according to his word, and God Almighty will bring those things to pass in your life. I like there's a scripture in Proverbs 4, and it says, the path of the just is like the first light of day that grows brighter and brighter until the full light of day. And if you do that on a graph, you'd have a starting point, and then you'd have a line going up, 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 up. And that's how the Christian walk is supposed to be. Over our lifetime, we increase in the blessings of God and in the knowledge of God. So let's take a look. We're going to read a lot about what Paul is bringing to us. And, Paul was a pretty knowledgeable guy. He had some real revelation from the Lord. And so let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 19. And he said this, for this reason, now this is a prayer. He said, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow, there's some great statements in this. Now, when he says, we have to understand this, in this, when he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, we have to understand this is not talking about you being born again and having the Holy Spirit deposited on the inside of you. If you're a believer, if you've received Jesus Christ as Lord, at that moment, the Holy Spirit took up residence on the inside of you when you were born again. But what this is saying is when you look at that statement in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, this is talking about us taking hold, us doing something with what has been given to us, that Christ may dwell. He's praying for the believers that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that you may take hold and implement and take to yourself personally that which has been given. Let's take a look at Ephesians, the same scripture block, but in the Amplified Bible. Now, remember, the Amplified Bible takes the original Greek and Hebrew language, and it adds a few more. It's more wordy, but it brings some greater understanding as to what the actual Greek text is saying or the Hebrew text is saying. So it says, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, himself dwelling in your inmost being and personality, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. So this is speaking of us being proactive and coming to a realization, an understanding of the gifts and the benefits of grace through the Word of God, and that we take hold of that and we do something with it. We're proactive. We begin to implement these things into our life. When you begin to implement those, it doesn't mean you have it, doesn't mean you're the best at it. It means you've made a start. And then you grow and mature in these deeper things of God. I like when it says being filled with all the fullness of God. Boy, that's some good stuff right there. So let's take a look at a few Greek words here. And so when it says in 19, when it says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, I'm sorry, in verse 16, where it says to be strengthened with might. The word strengthen is the word krataio. And I love this word because it comes from the word kratos. Now you're going, huh? That doesn't mean anything to you. We're going to get into that's one of the big five power words in the Greek language. When I first came to this church, Pastor Gary brought this up in a teaching he was doing, and he mentioned these big five power words. And when he mentioned them, I wrote them down and I took note of them, and I did some study on it. So that was 37 years ago, and I've been growing in it ever since. But this is a major word, and this word means, so when it means strengthened, it means realized, demonstrated, manifested strength. In the scope of talking about Jesus, when Jesus was on the cross and the earthquake happened, that earthquake was Kratos power. It's a power that shakes and moves. It's a powerful force. And in Ephesians 1, verses 19 and 20, it's used in conjunction as describing resurrection power. And so it really is the strongest power available in God's kingdom is resurrection power. And so he's saying here that you will be strengthened with the resurrection power of God. How many of you want that in your life? I do. This word might is the word dunamis. And so it's where we get the word dynamite from. And so it means if I had to put a phrase onto it, which I have over the years, it describes miracle-working power. It's probably the most popular word in the New Testament when it describes God's power, is the word dunamis. And it really means miracle-working power that overcomes resistance. Have you had any resistance in your life? Then you need the dunamis power of God working in your life to overcome that resistance. You know, as a believer of the enemy of our soul, the devil comes to around us, and he tries to stir things up and tries to throw up resistance oftentimes. The word duna in the beginning of dunamis means it's capable or it's able power. How many of you know that God's power is absolutely capable and able? When it says filled with all the fullness of God, this is talking about the Holy Spirit in us that we have. Nothing lacking, all, and it includes all of his resources. I like to say this: if you want to move into the fullness of God, then you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you need to get your prayer language through speaking in tongues. That's one of the greatest ways to tap into, and it's something that Jesus said to his believers. Before he ascended into heaven, he told them not to leave, but to wait for that promise of the Father. And of course, that's the book of Acts. But look at John 1:16. When we talk about filled with all the fullness of God, some of us might be hearing that and saying, well, that sounds too fantastic. But look at what John the Apostle wrote this in the first chapter in the 16th verse. And it says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. We could say it this way, and grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, and so on. And of his fullness. Have you ever thought that you have the fullness of God operating on the resident on the inside of you? Have you ever taken some time and really thought about that? I challenge you to do that. Get before the Lord and say, what does this mean? Does your fullness mean fullness? Is that really what it's saying? Because that's a powerful statement. That means you are a miracle looking for a place to happen. That means that you have no lack. That means that any question you may have, you can tap into the Lord and he can give you the understanding and the wherewithal to move forward into a greater scope of being. Satan's goal is to convince you that the word will not work for you. He wants to convince us that we're weak and powerless. We're just like anybody else on the earth. His aim is to create intense pressure so that you will give up and quit. Have we ever faced anybody else in here besides me ever faced that feeling? We've all faced that because that's the devil's MO. He wants you to doubt God's word and his ability and promise to deliver. King David understood this kind of pressure. I think out of the word of God, King David, through the Psalms, when you read, you see he writes exactly. I'm so glad David did that. He didn't hide it or try to candy coat it. He wrote what he was thinking and what he was feeling at the time. He was a man that was continually under great pressure from adversaries. Let's look at Psalm 74:10 through 11. Again, I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified Bible. He says, O God, how long is the adversary to scoff and reproach? Is the enemy to blaspheme and revile your name forever? You know, you may read that over real quick and miss it, but when he said, is the enemy to blaspheme and revile your name forever, David was looking at the covenant. He knew that he belonged to Almighty God, and so if they're coming against David, they're coming against the kingdom of God. That's the way he looked at it. Did you ever think that way? That if the devil's coming against you, he's coming against the God Almighty? Because you're one with Almighty God. Then he said, why do you hold back your hand, even your right hand? Draw it out of your bosom and consume them. Make an end of them. I think we've all felt like that from time to time, haven't we? David was familiar with pressure and the dealings of his humanity and emotions. Psalm 89:46-47, he said, how long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men? It's clear that David felt like time was running out, and he was trying to convince God of the urgency of the matter. David basically was saying, hey, Lord, if you don't act quickly, it may be too late. You're eternal. I've only got so many years here on the earth. Though David was discouraged, he never gave up. He remembered God's covenant, and we'll see that here in Psalms 94:22-23. But the Lord is my defense, and my God. Do you see the wording there? He said, my God. That is covenant language, the oneness language. He knows that he's one with Almighty God. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. I have to laugh sometimes. That was out of the King James Bible, and I love it when they put yea in there. Because I want to go, yay! I know that's not what they mean, but can you see? And God shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yay! But maybe you need to look at it that way and know that if the enemy's coming against you, that the enemy's defeated and he's under your feet. That is a time to go, yay, amen, and to lift up a praise unto the Lord. David always got back to the covenant and its promises and rose up with strength and determination and came through his battles a winner. Doesn't mean he didn't go through tough times. He did, but he came out victorious. And that's the same with us. You may face some tough times in life, but if you'll stand and you won't quit and you'll continue to move with the Lord, you will come through into victory. Don't faint. The Apostle Paul knew hardship as well. He had been shipwrecked, beaten with rods, whipped, stoned, and left for dead, snake bit, imprisoned, and falsely accused. He knew Satan's tactics and the pressure we're all up against. That's why he prayed that he would be strengthened with might in his inner man. And we need to pray the same prayer as we learn about God's covenant-keeping attributes. Let's take a look at Galatians 6:9 in the Amplified. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at an appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and then faint. You know, it's not the problem that's the problem. It's us that can be the problem, because we could give up and we could quit and we can faint. And therefore, we become our own worst enemy, because God's word is true and his power is within us. But if we quit, we're looking at our own strength. And then if we fail, it wasn't God, it was us. We need to develop the mindset that quitting is not an option. Say that with me. Say, quitting is not an option. You need to let that sink into your spirit. Quitting is not an option. His mighty power resides within you now, and we need to allow his plan to manifest by standing firm through the tests and the trials of life. What should we do when we're in a crisis? Let's take a look at Ephesians 6:13-14. And again in the Amplified Bible. Therefore, put on God's complete armor. That word complete means all-inclusive. It means nothing missing. You know, we can't just take part of the armor and appropriate it. We need to take all the armor of God. That's what it says. Take the complete armor of God, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground. Did you see the wording there? That you may be able to resist. I think a lot of times what we do is we go to God and we talk about the problem, and then we're expecting God to do a miraculous work. But a lot of time we have a part to play, and we need to cooperate and do what God's word says to do. There's a scripture in Mark 11:23, it says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. But it says, whoever says to this mountain, whoever speaks to this mountain, a mountain is an obstacle in life. The devil can throw up a lot of obstacles in your life. Diabetes could be an obstacle. It is an obstacle. Any type of sickness that is can be an obstacle. Lack of funds can be an obstacle. Harassment at work, on the job place, can be an obstacle. And so we need to speak not to the people if they're being harassed, but we understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Bible tells us, but against principalities and power. And so we understand that there's an enemy, there's a spirit behind that person that is trying to stir things up in our lives. But it says we don't talk to God about the mountain. He says you speak to the mountain. I was talking to somebody about this, my group on Thursday morning a few weeks ago, and I brought this right after the fires, and so I didn't do a teaching. I just had a small group there, and so we all sat around a table, and we were talking about this very thing, about us having responsibility and doing something with God's word. And there was a lady in the group, and she'd been talking about the problems. She's had headaches, and really severe headaches. She had to go lay down, and she feels pressure on her head and everything. And so she's talking about this, and she's known the Lord almost her whole life. And so I brought up about four different scriptures that talk about you speaking to the mountain, you doing something to it. And so after we got done, and a week or two went by, and she came up to me and she says, "Hey, I got to tell you something." She says, "When you talked about speaking to the mountain and about how some Christians are talking to God about their mountain instead of doing what the Word says, them taking the authority and speaking to the mountain," she says, "I spoke to the mountain of my headaches," and she says, "I haven't had any more headaches. They just went. They're gone." And she says, it's just over with. So I'm sure she was praying. I'm sure she was talking to God about the mountain. But when she finally did what the Word said and spoke to the mountain, a change took place. So we need to take a look at what the Word is saying. "Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to stand, able to resist, and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Therefore, stand therefore, hold your ground." This is where we need to say quitting is not an option. I'm a believer, I'm a winner, I'm going forward, and if the Lord is leading me to go forward in this certain area, then I'm going to succeed. And you will succeed as long as you don't faint, as long as you don't quit, as long as you don't give up. I always say this: if you get knocked down, get back up. You only lose if you stay down. Did you know there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, "A righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall in calamity." A righteous man may fall seven times and get back up again. As long as you keep getting back up, then you win. This here, when it talks about where it says, "Stand, therefore, hold your ground." In the actual Greek language, this is a military term in the Greek. It's written in the imperative, Greek imperative mood. And so it really is saying, stand firm, don't move, hold your ground. It's a command. And so I love that. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us. He's saying, don't quit, don't give up. Then he tells them how to stand. Let's look at the same passage again. It says, and this is being the New King James, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." I want to stop right there. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That word, guess what that word preparation means? Exactly that: to be prepared ahead of time. To be prepared with what? The gospel, the word of God. We need to be in the word of God on a daily basis. We need to be reading the word and taken to heart. I like to take it a step further and say we need to memorize some scriptures. And some of those scriptures that stand out to us, we need to commit them to memory. And they're precious. And I'll say this, it's your ammunition against the enemy when God points one of those scriptures out to you. Take the time and memorize it. Get it written on the tablet of your heart. You never know where you're going to be in a place when the enemy's coming to get you. And man, you can just come out with that scripture and say, "Get out of here, devil, in Jesus' name. The word says, I'm going over. I'm not going under." But having shod your feet, when the Bible talks about your feet or your walk, it's talking about your walk through life. It's talking about your journey through life. So it says here, "And having shod your feet, having with the preparation of the gospel of peace." You know, when Paul was in prison when he wrote this, and he had a Roman centurion there guarding the prison. So he's looking at these great Roman soldiers, and he's noticing their armor and the different pieces that they wore, because when they went into battle, it was to protect them and it was to give them a fighting edge. And one of the most interesting things that I ran across in studying the Roman soldiers is they had killer shoes. They had killer shoes. When it's talking about having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the Roman shoes had these long nails coming out of the front, these nails coming out of the front, and they had nails coming out of the back. so that if they got knocked down and there was an enemy that hit them and knocked them down, then they could raise their leg up and kick backwards and catch their shins, catch them in the thigh, and hopefully create, you may not kill the guy, but you create an infection in his life. And back then they didn't have antibiotics, and an infection could be lethal, and it could take a soldier out. And so they had killer shoes, and they had hobnails on the bottoms of their shoes. You ever seen baseball cleats or golf shoes that have those spikes on the bottom? When they got into battle, they'd actually twist their feet and dig into the ground. And then if the enemy's coming against them, they didn't get knocked off their feet easily because these shoes kind of made them stick to the earth. And if they did get knocked, then they'd kick you with those killer shoes and cause some damage. And so that's what the word of God is to us. When the devil comes around and tries to knock you off your feet, then you can come off with the word of God and you can come against that. We saw Jesus, you see this in Luke chapter 4, and where Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What does he do with every temptation? We've all read it. He quotes the word, doesn't he? The enemy comes to him and says something to him, and Jesus simply responds with the word of God. What was he doing? Killer shoes. He's coming back with the word of God. It's a strong weapon, and the devil couldn't stand against that. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you, notice the wording, you have a responsibility, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We need to know the word. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. How? In the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Did you notice in the Spirit? And so this is talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is talking about praying in tongues, praying in your spiritual heavenly language. It is a powerful, powerful tool that has been given to the body of Christ. If you do a study from the book of Acts, from the day when the Holy Spirit came to the earth, if you study it on every time they got somebody born again, they laid hands on them and they got them filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have not been in OSL level 2, you need to get into OSL because we cover this extensively. And we go through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, showing you the importance of the baptism with the Holy Spirit and what it will do for you. You've got to know who you are and whose you are and what belongs to you. You're equipped for the challenge. You're destined to win if you simply will not quit. We need to learn the benefits of prayer. So let's take a look at Luke 18, verse 1 again in the Amplified. I haven't used the Amplified so much as I did in this teaching. I use it a lot. I love the Amplified. It says, Luke 18, 1, also Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. Quitting is not an option. When it says to turn coward, that is the opposite of strengthened with might. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do, is to bring you into a place of fear instead of faith, to get you out of your God-ordained place and for you to set those things aside and then simply navigate through the world like an unborn-again man or woman. Just as proper diet, exercise, and rest will build up a strong resistance against sickness, praying, especially in the Spirit, will build up and strengthen your inner man. To avoid fainting or losing heart or giving up, pray daily. I love what John 15, 5 says. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And can I just say something? You had to memorize that verse. Because when it says you can do nothing, that he's without the Lord, you're going to fail. And so if you want to have success in life, then you need to take some time in his presence and you need to learn how to pray. I thank God for being baptized with the Holy Spirit. I thank God. I do this every day. Every day. I need it. I have to have it. I have to have it. When we pray in the Spirit, it brings forth the wisdom of God. It brings you into tapping into the mind of Christ. I need to have his leading. I need to have his wisdom. I need in everything I do. There's a guy up in Fresno that I've been ministering with to for a quarter. Him and I sharpen each other all the time. And I mentioned this to him the other day. I says, you're only going to be as successful as your time spent with God. You're only going to be as successful in life as your time spent with God. If you don't spend much time with him, then your success rate is going to be low. If you want to have high success rate, then you need to spend some time in the Spirit and take some time with him. You've got to make a time. If you see the life of Jesus, you see Jesus getting away to special places. Oftentimes, he went to the Mount of Olives, and it says, and he got away by himself, and he would get away and oftentimes he spent all night. And so I haven't spent all night in prayer, but I've spent some time in prayer. But I have to tap into the Spirit every day. And that is my secret for success, the Word of God and the Spirit. So let's take a look at Jude 20. This is a phenomenal, phenomenal short verse. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. That phrase, building yourselves up, in the Greek means this, to erect a superstructure. It means to edify. It means to rear up with power. The word edify simply means to build up or to make strong. Do you need to be built up? I do. And so I'm working on my superstructure every day. I'm being built up. My wife does the same thing. We pray, and there's a lot of times I'll walk by where she is, and I can hear her mouth going and words, and she's praying in the Spirit. And so we keep ourselves built up all the time. You never know what is coming down the pipe. You never know what's going to be next. And so we need to be ready to go, ready to meet any thing that the enemy brings our way. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he who speaks in a tongue, he who speaks with tongues, edifies himself or builds himself up. So the greatest thing about this is you can be built up. Anything, you know, praying in tongues bypasses your mind. Now, if you try to have two thoughts at the same time, you can't do it. You know, if you're saying something and then I interject something, all of a sudden it changes. You know, if I say there's a blue dog, you're picturing a blue dog, and I said he has a black foot, all of a sudden you see the black foot, and he's got red ears, all of a sudden, boom, you see red ears. And so you can't have two thoughts at the same time. One thought will supersede or overtake the previous thought. But you can, when you speak in tongues, it bypasses your mind. So you can drive your car and pray in tongues. Just don't close your eyes. Don't do that. And so there's oftentimes I'll be in the grocery store and I'm praying under my voice, whispering, and I'm praying in tongues when I'm shopping. And so I could pray, you know, 10, 15 minutes here. I can drive in my car for 15 minutes. I'm praying in tongues. So it's easy to get a half hour, an hour in every day. And being every time I do that, what am I doing? I'm building myself up. I'm erecting a superstructure. I'm working on building me up into a place of power and with the wisdom of God. Ephesians 6:10. Remember I talked about those Greek power words? Here they are. Here's three of them in this sentence. And so it says here, Paul says, finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, this is at the end of Ephesians. There are six chapters in the book of Ephesians. And so when he says finally, you would think in your mind, you're thinking, well, he said finally because he's coming to a close. It's the end of the, you know, it just was one letter when it was originally written. It wasn't written in chapters. And so, but when you read Paul's other writings, you'll see like a quarter of the way through, he may say finally. He's not closing. He's got another 10 chapters he's going to write. And so this word finally literally means this in antiquities, in Greek antiquity writing. It means if you didn't get anything that I said up to this point, pay attention to what I'm about to say. That's what finally means. Don't miss what I'm about to say. If you missed everything up to this point, don't miss what I'm about to say. Because he's starting to tell us, when he says finally, about the work of the enemy in our lives and what he wants to do to try to stop you from succeeding. And God has equipped you and given you things to make sure you succeed and the enemy fails. So he said, finally, my brethren, be strong. He's saying, and when he says be strong, that's in that imperative language again. It's a command. So Paul is saying, be strong. In other words, he's saying, live this way. Make this the way you live. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Live this way. So let's look at that word, be strong. It's the word, remember the word dunamis we had talked about? This is the word in dunamo'o, and it's the word dunamis and the word en, put in front of it. And so the word en simply means in. And then the word dunamis, what we talked about earlier, means miracle working power that overcomes resistance. So he says, be strong in the Lord. Let this power be resident on the inside of you and be tapping into it daily. Be fluent in this. I believe with all my heart when he said, use that in dunamo'o word, he was insinuating to pray in the Spirit. I'm convinced of it. Especially with what he said about the full armor of God. So he said, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That word power is that word kratos that I talked about earlier. That demonstrated power. The power that is felt, realized, it's tangible, it's manifested power. It means resurrection power. So he's saying, be strong in the miracle-working power of God, and in the resurrection power of God, and in the power of his might. That word might is the word ischus. I always like to make a little joke here. I say there's no excuse not to have ischus. And so ischus means forcefulness. It means God's muscular strength. When you look at the word ischus in the Greek language, it pictures a bodybuilder. So if you think of the picture a bodybuilder, Arnold Schwarzenegger in his youth, in his prime, picture, you know, the most strongest guy you can picture flexing his muscles and everything. That's what the word ischus looks like. But here it's talking about God's muscles. I got news for you. There's nobody stronger than God. You want to see a bodybuilder, when you get to heaven, you're going to be just going, whoo, Arnold wasn't anything. Look at this guy. Look at God. That's a strong, he's strong. And so he's saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Three of those big Greek power words are used right there. Be this way, live this way. Don't neglect this, Paul is saying. In our opening scripture in Ephesians 3, Paul is praying that we would come to the understanding of what's been deposited in us and begin to develop, taking hold of it, maturing and developing in it and in him. Paul lived this way. I'm going to give you an example of Paul. And what I want you to see here when I give this example, I want you to see that this is for every believer. Paul had a calling on his life. Paul was a great apostle, great guy. But did you know that you can also move in the things that Paul was moving in. They're for us. They're for the church. Paul was a born-again man, just like we are born again. So let's look at Acts 19. We're going to see that Paul lived an unusual life. Acts 19, 11, and 12. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Wow, that's pretty good. Unusual means special. It means not common. It means to hit the mark with something, to be successful. It was unusual. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, you may look at that and say, what's so unusual about that? Well, you have to remember that when Paul founded the Corinthian church, they got so excited about spiritual gifts. They were all speaking in tongues, and they were speaking in tongues in the church services. And they'd get up, and they'd all speak in tongues. Nobody could understand what they were saying. And so they were gaga for speaking in tongues and spiritual gifts. So much so, they were so zealous for this that Paul had to write special church doctrine for them to bring order to the church. So they all spoke with tongues. They were excited. They were like kids with a new toy. They were excited about it. So, but look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 18. I thank my God, I speak, and he's talking to the Corinthian church. He says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. That's a statement. I mean, how many people were in the church? I don't even know. 100? I don't know. 200? I don't know how many were there. And they're all speaking in tongues. And Paul says, you all think you're something speaking in tongues? I speak with tongues more than all of you. I exercise this gift every day throughout the day. So you look at, would you call that unusual? I call that unusual. To speak in tongues more than the whole church. That's unusual. But look at Paul's life. He spoke in tongues in an unusual way, and he had unusual miracles taking place. Do you think there's a connection? I think there's a connection. Paul was strengthened with might in a mighty way. He had a mighty outflow because he had a mighty inflow. Because he took time and he spoke in tongues. He took time in the presence of God and he built himself up on his most holy faith. He erected that superstructure in the spirit. Let's look at the resulting mindset in Paul's life. 2 Corinthians 4:16, again in the Amplified. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear, though our outer man is perishing, is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day. In other words, being edified and being built. You know what's interesting about this scripture? If you read on, it says, Paul then said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, his light affliction. He was stoned, left for dead, imprisoned, snake bit. I mean, when you look at the hardships that he went through, Paul calls those light afflictions. They were light afflictions compared to being strengthened with might and the awareness of the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God that he was a part of, that he saw anything the devil threw at him as small, as light affliction. Compared to the kingdom of God that he was a part of. And we can have that same mindset if we will take the time praying in the Spirit. The word might, when we talk about strengthened with might in the dictionary says this, the power and authority with capable resources to do something forceful and or with strength. Might. I don't know about you. I want might in my life. How about you? I want it. I want to have might. And so I don't want to have man's might. I want to have God's might. Because, see, I know that I'm up against spiritual forces, and so are you. Let's look at Colossians 1:10-12. He said that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. Did you see that that's connected? I'm going to read that again. Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to be in the Word on a daily basis. And connected with that increasing in the knowledge of God, then it says strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Hello, you've been qualified. Who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. This is our inheritance. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus qualified us to be partakers of this inheritance that Paul was talking about, of being strengthened with power and might. Don't be deceived into thinking otherwise. Don't allow the enemy to convince you to quit or not press into this or not make time with it. You know, I'm just like you. I like to watch movies. I like to watch things. I come home sometimes. I'm tired, and I just want to watch something on the internet. I like to look at some YouTube videos. There's a couple of channels I like. And so I like to see what's going on there. But I have to remember, I've got to be in the Word too. I got to shut that off. I've got to take my time. I got to have my prayer time. So I've had to schedule my time. And I get up earlier. And I get up an hour, 2 hours earlier so that I can have my time with the Lord and go through my devotional time. I have to start my day that way. I have to start my day in his power and might. Through his might, we cannot be defeated, we cannot fail, and no circumstance or demon is capable of overcoming us if we will not quit. Matthew 19:26 says, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" So we need to tap into the possibilities of God through praying in the Spirit. The phrase "all things" means nothing is left out. Whenever seemingly impossible situations come your way, they are possible through the Spirit of might. Three keys to unlock the power of might in our lives. And this, I'm ending right here. This is it. Here you go. Three keys. Proper diet. Feed on the Word daily. It is fuel for your spirit and for your faith. Proper exercise. Pray in the Spirit daily. This will build you up with his power and might. And number three, proper rest. Wait on the Lord through personal praise and worship. Bask in his presence for a spiritual refreshing. Make these your non-negotiables in life, and when the battle heats up, you will walk in the power of his might and not faint. Tap in and win, and you won't have to tap out. Amen? Father, we give you praise, and we thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this revelation, this understanding of praying in the Spirit. Lord, the great gifts that you have given to us, you have empowered us, you have given us, as it says in 2 Peter, you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so, Lord, show us, reveal to us these wonderful gifts that you have given to us. Lord, help build us up in the place of revelation, knowledge, and knowing that we are in the kingdom of God now, that the kingdom of God resides within us, that we're just not like the people who don't know you on the earth. We have been given special privilege. Lord, we're born again. We're different than we were when we came before we knew you, and that you have empowered us with all of the kingdom of God. We're in the covenant with you, and we thank you for that. Lord, today we praise you and we thank you. We speak healing and wholeness to each one here. Lord, give us a hunger and knowledge for your word and spending time with you. I pray that each one's life tonight will be transformed as they leave this place, Lord, and they will take steps to move deeper with you. And we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.